Welcome to Doctors of the Baobab, a podcast where we delve into the rich tapestry of experiences, challenges, and triumphs that shape the diverse journey of doctors of African descent in Africa and the diaspora. I'm your host, Dr. Nondumiso Makunga-Stevenson, a medical doctor, life coach, and founder of Ubuntu Doctor Coaching, dedicated to helping doctors find fulfillment in both their personal and professional lives. On this podcast, we go beyond the white coat to get to know the doctors we admire and respect. Join us as we explore the stories behind the stethoscope, uncovering the humanity behind the medical expertise. Whether it's navigating the complexities of patient care, overcoming personal obstacles, or advocating for change in healthcare systems, each episode promises to inspire, educate, and uplift. So sit back, relax, and prepare to embark on a journey of self-discovery with Doctors of the Baobab. Dr. Chiagozi Faole, welcome to Doctors of the Baobab. Dr. Faole is not your typical physician. Beyond her expertise in medicine, she has embarked on an extraordinary journey that intersects healthcare and real estate, shattering all conventional boundaries along the way. With a pioneering spirit and a vision for holistic community well-being, Dr. Faole has become a trailblazer in the realm of real estate, leveraging her medical background, fusing it with her entrepreneurial spirit, and applying innovative approaches, unwavering determination. She is transforming neighborhoods, one property at a time, proving that healing power of a space extends far beyond the confines of a doctor's office. Join us as we delve into the inspiring story of Dr. Chiagozi Faole, a visionary clinician, a visionary leader who's breaking barriers, a remarkable story that embodies the essence of innovation, of courage, and unwavering determination to challenge norms and to forge new paths for medical doctors. Welcome, Dr. Chiagozi Faole.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for having me, Dr. Makunga. I mean, I may have to borrow that intro for myself, okay? That's so amazing. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I was so excited, you know, when I first came across your profile, because never in a million years had I imagined that I would see a medical doctor doing what you are doing in real estate. Can you take us, though, as we normally do with Doctors of the Baobab, to the very, very beginning, this entrepreneurial spirit, where did it start? Was it something that was instilled in you in your childhood? Let's go back to the young Dr. Chiagozi.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm Chiagozi Faole. I guess I was born and raised in Nigeria, okay? And, you know, growing up, basically, I mean, we kind of joke about it, but, like, you had a couple of options: doctor, engineer, lawyer, maybe a pharmacist, everything else was like, whatever, you know? And so when I came to the United States, I actually had interest in engineering and medicine. And I remember one day we were driving and I asked my dad, you know, I was like, I'm torn. And he says, okay, well, basically like helping me out. He goes, who do you think will be more needed, you know, in a situation where people didn't have any money and they were poor? Like, who do you think they'll need more, the engineer or the doctor? And I'm like, the doctor, like, you know, you need life, right? So for me, that was it. Like, I wanted to be needed. I wanted to be relevant. I wanted to be useful. Now, no shade to those who are engineers, okay? But that was how I made my decision. Now, the joke there actually right now is that my sister and other sister are now, you know, engineer and lawyer. So now we have all the three in the family. But in my case, as I sort of went through my medical training, you know, went through med school, I was completely medicine, like, you know, 8 hours studying, full focus, didn't have any other, you know, real other interests. But as I got into residency, we moved to New York. It was almost like something started stirring in me, like, there has to be more to life, to wealth than just medicine. Because one thing that I noticed, and it was a very subtle thing that I noticed that because at the time we had attendings, and, you know, like our senior attendings, and we call them attendings here, but I know back home they'll be called like consultants or something. Now they would buy dinner when we were on call with them. So, you know, you're working late at night, you have a couple of cases in the operating room going late, and the attending on call that night will basically pay for dinner. And I noticed that there were some attendings that when it came to paying for dinner, they doled it out. They didn't care how much it was. They were like, you know, what would you like? And what would you like? And what would you like over there? And they just, you know, shelled out the money. And then there were other attendings who were like, you get $20 and you get $20, like basically like, you know, keeping the money tight. And nothing wrong with either one. I just was like, okay, so clearly they may all be making the same salary, but there's a difference. Okay. And for me at the time, my mind at the time was, I want to be the kind that has it to kind of like, you know, just
make it rain.
So I started praying, honestly, and I was like, dear God, give me a business idea. Because at the time, I would watch like Shark Tank on TV, and I'll see these guys coming with like these amazing ideas. And I'm like, man, that is such a brilliant idea. So I thought I needed some brand new, like novel idea to be able to create income outside of medicine. And then I was literally praying about this like multiple times. And one day I was home alone. I was expecting my first daughter at the time. My husband was out of the country, actually. So it was just me, you know, just binge watching TV, my pregnant self. And I saw on TV this couple, Tarek and Christina, on HGTV. They made $60,000 in one episode, okay, in one flip. So basically, they took a house that needed work. They fixed it up. And by the time they sold it, their profit was $60,000. I was like, wait, hold up. Because at the time, my entire salary was $54,000. So I was like, these guys, they just made my entire annual salary in one deal. What am I doing? Okay, like, what am I doing? I was a resident at the time, and I was like, what am I doing? They didn't have to take call. They didn't have to miss their kids, you know, events and vacations and whatever. They were literally just, you know, they wake up in the morning, and at least as on TV, right? You know, they'll basically like show up, oh, let's see a house. And then they will fix up the house, and then that's $60,000. I was like, what they're doing, I want to do. So that took me down a major rabbit hole. I started devouring anything I could find about real estate. I was on real estate forums. I was reading books that year. Now, before this, the only books that I read were like anatomy and physiology. You know what I'm saying? Like medical books. But that year, I read over 14 non-medical books, which for me was like mind-opening. And being on all these like entrepreneurial forums, it was like, oh my goodness, there is a whole nother world out, you know, out there of people making money, just like, what? And here I am saying, oh, I'm a doctor. And, you know, thank God for medicine. I am very happy that I became a doctor. But I can tell you that, like, when you step into certain circles, it's like, oh, cute, the doctor. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, yeah. You know, like, oh, you have to be at work tomorrow. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so, that took me down a rabbit hole, and that was sort of what got me kind of into that whole like real estate entrepreneurial space to then have helped me get my very first deal. My very first deal actually did not come until like a year and a half later, because I didn't have the money. Okay.
Right.
I didn't have the money. So that's a whole story that I can go into, but that was how I got started.
Yeah. Wow. What an amazing story. And something I'm picking up from your story is it's a few things. Firstly, your curiosity. And secondly, your willingness to learn, which is something that, yes, of course, doctors are always willing to learn, but we don't necessarily do that, especially outside of medicine. What is it that you drew from the medical field that you think has served you well in this venture real estate?
So if there's, like you said, if there's one thing that doctors do and do well is that they learn very well, okay? So for me, the ability to take something, I mean, the books I was reading, they didn't have the complexity of an anatomy book. Like, anatomy book, one page, and you have to learn like 50 different facts in that one page. Most of the other books I was reading, one page basically had one concept drawn on and on and on, and you got the idea. In fact, sometimes you read the front page of the book and you got the idea already, right? So in terms of like understanding complex things, medicine definitely helped me with that, because like these things aren't that complex, okay? The other thing also is tenacity, like being able to just kind of see a vision and see a far vision and go after it, even if it's like a far vision, because guess what? In the United States, if you're going to go into medicine, it's a 14-year journey you just signed up for, okay? Undergrad is 4 years, medical school is 4 years, residency is 4 years, that's what, 12 years already, right? And then if you do, you know, a fellowship like I did, that's a 13th year. So if you can't see the vision of this end from here, from the beginning, you don't even start. And it's the same thing in real estate where, you know, your first couple of deals may be just, you may break even, you may lose money, heck, right? You may go through trials and tribulations, but because you've already learned to see far in your 12, 13 years, you can also learn to see far through your deals over time.
Yeah. Now, I read your book, which was very interesting for me. I must say, I learned a lot. Real estate, as I mentioned, is not something that even, you know, popped up in my mind. Yes. And you initially, if I remember correctly, you'd mentioned that you pivoted towards short-term leases. Can you take us through your journey now? You've decided, okay, I want to go down, as you said, this rabbit hole of real estate. What has worked for you? How would you advise other doctors who might be interested? And I'm sure they will be in your journey. Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, when I first started, it was because I was watching the TV show where they were flipping houses. By flipping houses, basically, for those who aren't as familiar, it's basically like you buy a house that needs work, you fix it up, make it all pretty, and you sell it for much higher. Well, when I tried what they did on TV, because I did, and a year and a half later, it didn't quite turn out like it was on TV, okay? The first deal that we did, unfortunately, we lost $10,000. I didn't have the money. So I lost basically money on that deal that I didn't have the money for. So that hurt a little bit. That hurt quite a lot, okay? And so I said, you know what? How about I do something that is not as risky? Because when you do like short-term deals, and I use the word short-term, not in the short-term rental sense, but in the actual time frame, okay? So deals where you buy and within 3 months you're selling, there's a lot that can change in that period, and you haven't had the benefit of time to be able to come out on top. Because in most real estate deals, if you have the benefit of time, chances are you'll be okay, okay? But with these like quick-turn deals, it gets pretty, like, you have to be on the money when it comes to like all your numbers and all. So I did that the first deal, and then I was like, yeah, no, we can't keep this up, okay? So let's go do something that's a little more stable. And so guess what I did? I went and I bought a 12-unit apartment complex with only $900 out of my own pocket, okay? And this is because I had learned on the different forums different ways to finance or to fund these deals with other people's money. So I was able to get a couple of, you know, friends and colleagues and acquaintances into the deal. I had spent the year and a half before I did the first deal learning and actually understanding how deals work. So what I didn't have in cash, I had in the knowledge, okay? So because I had spent the time investing in my knowledge, I was able to pitch my deal to people who already had the money but hadn't had the time or interest really to go learn all this stuff. And they came on board. We basically bought the deal as a group, and I managed the deal. I brought them, you know, reports every now and then, sent them their cash flow every month or every quarter, depending on what was happening at the time. And that deal we ended up holding for about 4 years, and we sold it during COVID actually for a good profit. So that deal turned out really nice. But now after we did that deal, my husband was like, that was nice and cute. That was great. But how about we not, you know, do this whole thing with like other people's money anymore? Like, because I think for him, it was just very unnerving because it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to lose people's money. So he's like, all right, fine. I'm like, okay, fine. He says, you know, let's just do deals to the extent that we can handle. Fine. As long as I'm able to like do my real estate deals, I'm good. So I said, so we began buying smaller properties, you know, two family houses, basically like top and bottom type properties with flats up and down. And basically we use a strategy where you buy a property that needs work, again, needs work. But now when you rehab it or renovate it, instead of you selling it right after, now you go to the bank and say, hey, this property is now fixed up. Give us a new loan on the entire property. So with that strategy, we were able to basically take our cash out of that property and now get a regular bank loan on the property and now able to now hold it for a long time. So using the strategy, we're able to now basically buy the property, fix it up, rent it out, refinance, okay, take the cash we used to buy it and buy another one. I'm able to recycle that cash across multiple deals, and that was how we built our portfolio of long-term rentals. But these were long-term rentals. These were properties where people will come, they'll rent it for a year at a time. You know, they were tenants. You had to deal with any kind of tenant issues or whatever. They'll pay every month, and that was good. But as I'm doing all of this, I was on the different internet forums and seeing other doctors, you know, talking about their deals, and I was like, that is not a deal. Like, no. And so I found that there was a need to help educate colleagues on how to do this stuff. And the more I will have conversations with people who are interested in my coaching, the more I found that people were actually looking for things that will make them like meaningful cash, like right now. And I was like, well, you know, this whole rental business, yeah, it will make money eventually, but you kind of have to build it. It takes a little while to build. But the more and more I talk to people, I realize, you know, people actually need something that makes them meaningful income within a meaningful time frame, not like the whole 5-10 year business that I was talking about earlier. So I began to look for a real estate model that had a bit of that kind of gave them more meaningful cash and more meaningful income within a smaller time frame. And the first thing that I saw, I came across the short-term rentals, but I first did it in the context of what's called rental arbitrage. That is the strategy where instead of you buying the property, you rent the property from a landlord. And then you turn around and put it on platforms like Airbnb and all of those to then turn them into short-term rentals. The reason being that your rent, for example, let's say, can be maybe $1,000 a month. But by the time you put it on the short-term rental platforms, you could probably make like $150 a day or a night, right? So $150 a night, let's say you did that across 30 days. Or let's even say you did like, okay, let's even just say 20 days, okay? So 20 days, $150 a night, that's $3,000 already. So you have $3,000, you have some expenses. So let's say all in, you're actually making, you know, $2,700, right? If you now subtract your rent from that, that's, you now have a spread that you can call your profit. So that was how I started. And when I did that, I was able to actually get 10 rental properties from landlords. They let me do this. And I did this all above ground. Like they were aware of what I was doing. I wasn't hiding anything from them. But when I got 10, I was like, wait a minute, I may have found this thing. Like everybody's out there waiting until they can put down a massive down payment to buy this big and beautiful house when they could simply just turn around and just do this arbitrage method. So I was shouting it on the rooftops. I was talking about it everywhere. And I was like, you know what? I'll put together a conference. So it was putting together this conference that I began interviewing other real estate investors in the physician space who were now doing short-term rentals, but they were buying their own short-term rentals. It was while I was interviewing them that I now found out that if you bought the short-term rental, that there were even additional benefits, like the tax advantages that you buy the house. So let's say, for example, you buy the house for, let's say, $500,000, right? You could, and I could go through all the math here, but that would be a little too much for this conversation. But you could literally, from that one house that you bought for, let's say, $500,000, you could shelter even as much as $150,000 of your personal income from taxes. So when I heard this, I was like, poof. Like most physicians that I talk to are not necessarily looking for the cash flow that the other strategy would have given them. Most of them are like, listen, if I can just not pay as much in taxes, I will be okay. Because if there's one thing that doctors in the United States do, they earn money, but they pay it. They pay a good chunk of it, almost 40% in the form of taxes, 35-37% in taxes. So I said, you know what? This other strategy where you just lease the property is great. But you know what's even more beneficial? Is to help them learn to save the one that they've already made. And in the process, buy big and beautiful properties that they can keep for their family, for their generations, that they can use personally. Like, we ended up buying our first lake house. I call it Doris. Beautiful place. Like, when we go there, it's like, whew, like, the air is nice, the water is nice. It's just beautiful. So that's now my mission, to help other doctors and hiring professionals build generational wealth using recreational properties that help them generate income and save on taxes.
Yeah. And you go into great detail in your book also about the nuts and the bolts of that. So, yeah. You know, the importance of educating yourself. I think it's chapter after chapter that you share these important nuggets and considerations, because on the face of it, it sounds very attractive, the benefits as you've shared, but there's also a lot to be learned. Something that I also picked up in your book, which is very familiar to us, of course, as doctors, is the importance of having the right team around you. And you've alluded to that as well with your first investment. Can you talk to us a little bit about that concept of having the right people around you to support you in areas that are outside of our scope or education?
Yeah. It's really important in real estate investing. And one of the things that I find really interesting is that as doctors, we actually do two things that are very opposite. When we are at work, we work with the team. We work with nurses. We work with physical therapists. We work with everybody. We talk with everybody. But then one thing that I found is that when we come into entrepreneurship, sometimes we want to do it all. We want to do every single thing. But the fact is, no, you can't. And no, you won't, right? Because If you can build the right team around you, you can do so much more. You can go far. You can go further faster when you have a team of people working with you. When we first got started buying rental property, I was actually about to start my fellowship. So technically speaking, anybody will say, oh, no, that's not a year you want to start something new. But I knew that, guess what? I'm not going to be the person collecting rent. I don't even know how to collect rent, at least as of back then, right? Mm. So I knew that I had to hire a property manager who understood the workings of rent collection in New York State, which is a whole dynamic. Like, it has its own thing. I knew that I didn't want to spend the time understanding all the itty bitty nuances of what you could say and what you couldn't say, you know, when getting a tenant here and there. So I hired someone who already knew that part, so that I could basically tap into their years of experience and not have to make all the mistakes myself. Plus, I didn't have time, okay? And because I knew I didn't have time, I knew I had to get someone who understood what to do and who was ready to go out of the gate. So doing that allowed us to get started where our excuse could have been, I don't have time for tenants. I don't have time for guests. So when we began with the short-term rentals, guess what? We did the same thing. I found a young lady down in Dallas. In fact, first of all, I got properties down in Dallas, Texas, while I was in Syracuse in New York, all the way across the country, because I knew I wasn't going to be doing it myself. So I might as well just find a place where I had people and have them do it. And that's what I did. But with doing that, it freed me up to basically invest wherever I wanted to invest and do it with other people's time, paying them. Okay, because some people say, well, but you have to pay them. Yes. Yes. Precisely. You will have to pay them. But guess what? If you don't have them, then the chances of you doing it yourself are pretty slim. So do you want a portion of something or all of nothing?
Right, right.
Yeah.
From time to time, you make reference to your faith. Is that something you'd be willing to share with us, how it is part of your life and how it has influenced you? Starting with, as you shared initially, that you just prayed for God to give you a business idea, a viable business idea. Tell us a little bit about your faith and how it impacts you every day.
Absolutely. So, I mean, everything about my life right now is because of Jesus. It's because of God. It's because of Jesus. Okay. Starting from where do I even start? Okay. Even starting from getting into medical school. So when I came to the United States, I went through undergrad. I had a stellar GPA, 4.0 out of 4.0. Like, you couldn't get any better than that. And when I applied to medical school, I was an international student. So they told me I got into a prestigious school, Johns Hopkins University. But at the time, they had a requirement that if you were an international student, you weren't allowed to actually come unless you had money in an escrow account. At the time, it was $250,000 escrowed.
Wow.
And I guess the reason for it was that they didn't want a situation where you would start and not be able to finish because you didn't have the funds. I understand. But at the time, I didn't have $250,000. Okay. So one day I was talking with a friend of mine, and she said to me, and we were talking, and I was about to badmouth Johns Hopkins because I was like, you know, whatever, you know, they think they're all that, blah, blah, blah. And I heard it very clearly in my spirit. And I never heard anything that clear before. But what I heard was, stop saying bad things about Hopkins because that's where you're going. Okay. So I heard it. I never had that experience before. And I was like, all right. I changed the topic. Okay. But I didn't know how it was going to happen. But I'll fast forward the story because the deadline was July 1st to be able to have those funds. June 4th. I checked online, or basically May 27, I checked online, and our green card that we had applied for years before basically showed up that it was ready.
Wow.
June 4, we got the actual green card in the mail. I'm like, if that is not Jesus, I don't know what you're going to call it. Okay? But guess what? May 15th was the day you had to turn down every other school and only have one left. So as of May 15th, I got multiple admissions to med school. Getting into medical school in the United States is not a small feat. I got multiple admissions. And on May 15th, I was calling them one by one, telling them, I'm sorry, I am not coming. And I will scream, like I'll do it. I'll hang up, I'll scream, because the only thing I had was the word that I heard. Saying bad things about Hopkins because that is where you're going. So based on faith alone, I canceled all the other schools and I had one school left, which was my top school, quite all right, but the one that I had no other way of getting into unless a miracle happened. And guess what? The miracle happened. Okay? So faith is literally, I can go on and on, but I figure that one story will basically show you exactly where faith is in my life.
Yeah, no, definitely very, very powerful demonstration of that. And what I've found is that within our profession, you know, we often have that awareness of a higher being, whatever one believes in. So it's really interesting, you know, how you have a tangible example of that throughout the course of your life. No doubt you take that into your coaching practice when you coach doctors in real estate. Tell us a bit more about coaching. How do you coach fellow doctors?
So what we've done is we've basically created a space where physicians and professionals can come in, and even if they've never done anything in real estate investing before, they can learn our framework, literally step-by-step framework, that they can use to go from newbie to doing their first deal, and some of them even doing multiple deals in our time together. Okay, so we've had it in different frames and formats before, but it's usually some form of having access to our course content in the back end, so they can go in and they can watch the different trainings in their own time. And then as they implement, they come on calls once a week. Like I have a call this evening. And so on those, on the coaching calls once a week, people bring their questions, they bring the deals they're working on, they bring any kind of roadblocks or issues that they're having, and we deal with them. And what happens in that setting is two things. Number one, you get to see other people like you sharing their wins, their trials, their tribulations, their successes, their hangups, and you get to learn from a breadth of experiences even before you have yours. And so that kind of creates a bit of a flywheel effect where now you already know what the answer was to somebody else's question before you had that question. But now when you have your question, you have a place to bring your questions to so that you can, you know, move forward with your deal. There have been times, for example, during our calls where I had a doctor one time who was about to make an offer on a property. And so she brought the deal to our call. I looked at it and I was like, you know what? Offer them $20,000 less. And she's like, okay. So she goes and comes back and says, guess what? They accepted. So in one phone call, in one Zoom call, we basically saved her $20,000 that she was ready to pay. She was willing and happy to pay the $20,000 to them in her offer. But with that one tip, we were able to save her $20,000 because the sellers accepted. Okay, so, and this is at a time when the market was like really hot, when people out there were like paying over the asking price. But because I knew kind of where she was, I said, nah, just offer them this. So that's kind of what we do on those calls, and it basically helps people. I've had people who maybe began the process and kind of life happened, but because they kind of saw other people sharing their wins, they're like, oh, you know what? I did pay for a program. Let me actually go get the work done. So it really kind of, you see just like iron sharpening iron, people just kind of encouraging each other to success.
Ah, great. So if people are interested in working with you, how do they contact you?
So for the book that you mentioned, for example, it's called The STR Blueprint. They can get that from thestrbook.com. So thestrbook.com. That is the first way. And then the second will be, if you've heard, you know, all of this, I actually want to like reach out and work with us. You can just send me an email, you know, Chia Gauzie. So that's C-H-I-A-G-O-Z-I-E. I know it's a long name. I know. Okay. I'm African. Okay.
Okay. I can relate. So,
Chia Gauzie at savvydoctors.co. If, you know what, actually, they can even go to an easy one. Just hello. All right. The English one, right? Hello, H-E-L-L-O at savvydoctors. And that's with an S. Savvydoctors.co. It's not .com, it is .co. So hello at savvydoctors.co.
And we'll definitely put that information in the show notes so that it's easily accessible to everyone. Awesome. Dr. Chia Gauzie Faole, what a refreshing breath of air to speak to you today. Pioneer, entrepreneurial spirit, medical doctor. So proud to call you a fellow African. And thank you so much for your time and for sharing with us your words of wisdom and knowledge. And I'm pretty sure that you've inspired somebody out there who's been thinking about it, but probably thought, oh, real estate, you know, maybe people will laugh at me. I'm a whole doctor after all. So very much appreciated for your time. I know we did this very quickly. I grabbed you while you were very busy.
I'm glad we did it. I'm glad we did it.
Thank you so much, doctor. Appreciate it.
So for those who are saying, well, I'm a doctor, well, how about this? How does it sound if you could also become a rich doctor? Let's just put it out there. Okay. Let's just leave that out there. Thanks so much.
So if you want to be a rich doctor, please just make sure that you reach out to Dr. Chia Gauzie. Information will be in the show notes. Thanks so much, doctor.
Thanks for having me.
And that wraps up another insightful episode of Doctors of the Baobab. I hope you found today's discussion both enlightening and empowering. Before we part ways, I want to extend a heartfelt invitation to the audience. If you are a doctor and you've been inspired by what you've heard today and you're ready to take action towards positive change in your life, consider working with me, your host, Dr. Nondumiso Makunga-Stevenson, as your personal life coach. You can email me to learn more about my coaching services and how we can embark on a transformative journey together. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode filled with valuable insights and strategies for personal growth. Sharing is caring, so if you know someone who could benefit from our discussions, be sure to spread the word and encourage them to tune in. And let's stay connected beyond the podcast. Follow us on all social media platforms, including LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Join the conversation, share your thoughts, and connect with like-minded individuals who are also on a journey towards living their best lives. Thank you for tuning in today. Remember, every small step you take towards your goals is a victory worth celebrating. Until next time, keep striving, keep growing, and keep shining bright. Doctors of the Baobab, where medicine meets motivation.